How many of you know much about Tychicus? There you go. Tychicus. Let's look at a couple passages. I'll show you all the passages in the New Testament that refer to him. Let's first look at the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, for just a moment. I think this is a good way to start a study about this particular character, a faithful example. So note Ephesians chapter 6, and remember that the Ephesian epistle is a prison epistle. Paul writing from Rome, prisoner, pleading his case. He appeals to the Roman authorities under persecution in the book of Acts. We'll go back to that in just a moment. Ephesians chapter 6, let's start at verse 21. Ephesians 6, 21. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, which his name means faithful, by the way, faithful. A beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you. Notice he's been sent for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to, now stay with me here. Look at the very end here. Peace be to the brethren in love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. And does your Bible include written from Rome unto the Ephesians by Tychicus? If you have a King James Version, you might see that postscript or subscript. The King James translators admitted, it seems, in parentheses from the received text of the Textus Receptus basis for the King James Version, that wasn't in the original, but the implication here is that Tychicus was what is referred to sometimes as a manuus, or one that writes on behalf of the inspired apostle Paul here in this case. So sometimes they would have a like an autobiography or someone that writes for you. Doesn't change the inspiration of the text or anything, but just that's interesting, because if you do a word search on Tychicus, Ephesians 6:24 will show up in the Strong's Concordance as one of the reference points. And if you're not aware of why it's there, it's because of an addition by the King James translators. But he is there, and you look at the context, it's clear based upon verses 21 and 22 that he was being sent, and that would be a sent from where? Where was Paul at the time when he's sending him? Rome. In prison, which that says something about Tychicus, how do you say that in the possessive? Tychicus's, his character. He was with Rome. Remember, Paul will write 2 Timothy while he's also in prison, maybe a second time, and he's about to die in 2 Timothy 4. And he will call for Timotheus or Timothy to come to him. He's not with him, but Tychicus seems to be with him in 2 Timothy 4:12, because he refers to having sent him to Ephesus. Now, again, we don't know much about the guy except he's just a faithful servant. Look at the book of Colossians. Similarly, Colossians as well is one of Paul's prison epistles. So Paul's writing up a storm, it seems, so to speak, while in prison. Colossians chapter 4, verse 7. Paul writes, "All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord." Right there, he's a beloved brother. The word having to do with phileo, or like a brotherly type of love. And then he's a minister as well. The word minister means he's one that's able to speak the word of God. What's interesting about Tychicus from both now Ephesians and the book of Colossians, he would be ministering or speaking in really the first hand for the first time in many ways, the books of Ephesians and Colossians. And here we are in the 21st century, and guess what I'm trying to do? In part, I'm exposing and ministering the book of Ephesians and Colossians to you. Well, Tychicus was one that received it, likely maybe helped handwrite it from the Apostle Paul's inspired mouth, and he is told to go to now both Ephesus and Colossae, and continue with me in Colossians 4, verse 8. He's going to serve or minister this message, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother. Anybody remember who Onesimus is? We believe that this is the same one that was a part of the book of Philemon. Onesimus was a slave owned by who? Philemon. Something's worked out here. Paul also writes the book of Philemon during his stay in prison, utilizing Onesimus. But here's the example of Onesimus being sent, it looks like, with Tychicus, perhaps to go back and grab Philemon or reunite with Philemon on this journey. What I think is interesting about this, you learn something about ministry or missionary work. Look at verse 8 again closely. Not only is Tychicus going to minister this epistle or this message of my estate and teach you and preach to you, he is also going to report his purpose in coming to you at Colossae in verse 8 is to do something. And what is it again? To know their estate. So we just had an elders meeting this afternoon, and that was a part of some of our conversations. We want to know the estate of the other. They're asking for certain things. We need to ask and know the estate of the congregation or the individual asking for support. We need to know more. The estate. Information. All right, Colossians 4 then continues to elaborate upon something here. Notice verse 9. Let me finish this verse. Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you, they shall make known, they, plural, Tychicus and Onesimus, make known unto you all things which are done here. So there was this need for faithful information. And it's interesting because our relationship, the word fellowship, has to do with this idea of communication, mutual communication. Can there be fellowship if we do not have mutual communication? Know the state of each one involved. I'm going to make a little bit of a segue here. Look at the book of Philippians chapter 1 for just a moment, because this also is a prison epistle, so this would be contextual in the thought process. Paul, again, writing, and notice Philippians chapter 1, and let me do a little bit of, let's look and see here. It's toward the end of the chapter, the verse I'm looking for. I want you to note about fellowship in the gospel here. All right, let's start at verse 17. The other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel, what then, notwithstanding, in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Now, He says in verse 21, for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Now, why is he saying all of this? What is going on in verse 15? What's happening right now in the first century relative to the character of the Apostle Paul? Okay. And then, yes, and then verse 16, he gets a little personal. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely supposing to add affliction to his bonds. Some were likely character assassination. Well, he might have deserved this. Maybe Paul was a hothead. Was Paul known to be a little bit, how would we say it, with Barnabas? Was he going to give an inch when Barnabas wanted to take John Mark with him after John Mark had left him? But Barnabas said, I'll take him. We don't know what exactly is happening here, but it's not unusual. Does this happen today? People sometimes character assassinate, say things they really shouldn't say. You got to be careful, or at least qualify what you're saying, or say, I may not know the whole story. Be clear. But this is what I'm talking about, mutual conversations. It has to be comprehensive for fellowship. And I'm going to get to a word, homologeo, confession here, which is so important to having fellowship. And I'm going to go back to the idea of what Tychicus is doing here for the Apostle Paul that makes him a faithful servant we can follow by example. Yes, sir.
I think something to bring out about Tychicus is that Paul said he's going to make known all of my things. Going to know what you're going through as well. He had to trust him.
But he's going to report. Look at what Paul says right here, because he's talking about, now I understand why more Paul is saying for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Paul is trying to explain, I will die in prison for the cause of Christ. Tychicus is an example of one who's going back to Ephesus and Colossae, and he's saying that. If there was any character assassination, which Philippians seems to point out, that there was some preaching, and Paul's not getting on to them for preaching Christ. He says, I rejoice that they're preaching Christ. I'm sad that they might be character assassinating me or misrepresenting me, because I don't want you to think that way about me. So how do I want you to think about me? Go back to Philippians 1. This is what he says. He says in verse 22, if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I know not. I don't control my destiny. I control my choices, but to live is Christ is what I will do. And if I die is gain. We worry so much about the consequences of our choices, we don't make choices sometimes. Paul is in prison because he made choices. This goes back to his desire to go back to Jerusalem when some brethren were saying, you don't want to go there. You're going to get in trouble. And Paul said, that doesn't persuade me. I'm going. This is where people like Tychicus come into Paul's life, and they're going to give the true story. They're going to give the real autobiography, if you will, of what Paul was doing. They help us. And we have these people today. Philippians 1, let me again continue. Verse 23, for I'm in a strait betwixt two. I have a choice issue here. I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. How many of you have felt that way in life struggles and anxieties and fights as a Christian? You've not doubted whether or not it was better to go and be with the Lord, and you wished in some senses I could just go be with the Lord. Paul is saying it is better, but here is my dilemma. Here's my tough choice. And I'm in prison writing this message. And I've got people out here preaching Christ, and some are character assassinating me. And I'm going to use people like Tychicus and Onesimus and others to help send a letter that's inspired that will help set the record straight in one sense, but are going to edify both Ephesus and Colossae. He says in verse 24, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for... So I know that. Paul knew I need to be here. Paul is not questioning whether or not to die and to be with the Lord is better. He knows that. We need brethren that know that. I would say Tychicus knew that. All right, stay with me. Verse 25, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. That's why I'm here. That's my purpose. that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your manner of life or conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. You live like this as well. You make these same choices. The Lord will work this out. I know not what will happen. I know my choices will be aligned with the will of God, the gospel. That's what Paul is saying here. And he says, you do the same at Philippi. This is what Tychicus and people like him are experiencing. They're seeing a man that's this driven, that's this focused, if you will, passionate. And so look at what he says here in verse 27, continuing. I want to hear of your affairs, though being absent, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Here's that fellowship. I want to have mutual conversations. I don't want people distracting you from characters, from opinionated character sessions. I'm not worried about that, but I don't want it to distract you or discourage you. That's what he's saying here. He's not saying that it won't happen. I know it happened. He's sick and tired of it. If you go back to 2 Corinthians, you'll see where he's been abused by his own Jewish brethren. In Romans chapter 10, he writes Rome, the Christians back at Rome, and says, I wish I could be cut off for my brethren's sake, who are my family in the flesh. They have a great zeal for God. I can relate to them, but they're as lost as a goose, so to speak. And that zeal without knowledge will do them no favors, no good. And now I've got my own brethren turning their back on me, but not Tychicus. Not Onesimus, not Timotheus, not Titus. These are faithful brethren who are holding on to what's true. So this is what Paul's talking about here. Philippians chapter 1, that they stand fast, verse 27, in one spirit, with one mind, striving together in for the faith of the one gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me. And so I'm writing to you the book of Philippians, to those at Philippi, a faithful, organized congregation, in chapter 1. And drop down to chapter 4. And notice how he concludes this prison epistle. Verse 16, for even in Thessalonica you sent once again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit. It is nice to see people working fruit. Does that make sense? Not just benevolence or charity in the sense of just a charity. We feel sorry for you. Paul calls it fruit here. That may abound to your account. You will receive the reward as a congregation. For I have all in abound, and I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory, and by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me. Does that include Tychicus at the time? Likely so, or had. Onesimus, they greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of whose household? Caesar's. He's had an impact upon Caesar's household. The preaching and the teaching of the gospel is impacting Caesar's household. And so the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Now, Tychicus, let's be specific here. Let me go back to the original time we run into the guy. Go back to Acts chapter 20. I forgot to print my hand notes, so I've got to look at my phone notes.
Well, I have a question.
Yes.
I know a lot of it could just be speculation, but do you think that it could be a possibility that some of the character assassinations or just the people who are doing whatever they're doing for contention's sake in regards to Paul is a way that people, because, I mean, Paul's in prison. He's obviously a bold preacher. He brings a lot of what some would consider unwanted attention to Christians who are already scared you know, scattered, whatever, just like they did with Jesus, they just kind of distanced themselves. Like, oh, he's in prison, like, yeah, we know who he is, but I'm not chummy with him. You know, it's kind of like if something like that happens today, people will start distancing themselves from you because they, too, don't want to be persecuted or whatever.
Would Paul have been repulsive to some of us today? There's your answer. So the same classifications. And in the day of judgment, it's going to be interesting. I'm just glad I'm not the judge. Because I lean really hard on the, how do you say this without being crude? Not sinful. There's a difference. Paul says, and uses the word dung, refuse, but you need to quit whining and complaining and realize how blessed you've been and go to work. How long do you think eternity is? How long do you think you have on this planet? And so again, when I think about the Apostle Paul today in our culture, this entitled sense, everything, Paul would be very repulsive. Christ, as Paul, as Mike preached this morning, would have probably been a little bit kinder on some people. Maybe. I don't know. That's a relative statement. That's an emotional, that's subject to your opinion and mine. That didn't cost you anything.
Tychicus was so fortunate here on Paul to see the maturity. And the reason why I say that is because as a people, we struggle separating the good that people do with that which they don't do. And the reason why I say that is because they were trying to add afflictions to his bonds, his chains. Yet Paul says, okay, whatever. At least they're preaching the truth.
That's right.
You know, usually if we don't like someone, we just lump it all together. And we know what they're saying is true, but because they don't like them, we're going to find something wrong. And so, particularly to be around that type of maturity, he can go and tell those Colossian brethren, Paul's okay, don't worry about him, he's okay.
And we need people like that. I'm glad I've got people that love me. And because we can all be misread. Acts 20, verse 4 is the first time Tychicus shows up in the text. It's Paul's third missionary journey. It's in Ephesus, or here in Acts 20. You find those who have been accompanying Paul. So let's just look at Acts 20, verse 4 briefly. We've already looked at Ephesians and then Colossians. This is before Paul's in prison, so I want you to maybe think about the timeline here. All right, let's start at verse 1, actually, to get the context. And after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples, embraced them, and departed for to go into Macedonia. And when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece, and there abode 3 months. And when the Jews laid wait for him, as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia, and there accompanied him into Asia, Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus, and Secundus of Gaius, and Derbe, and Timotheus, and of Asia, both Tychicus and Trophimus. These going before tarried for us at Troas. So you see them kind of going before, tarrying or waiting at Troas. Then look at verse 6, and we sailed away from Philippi. So again, Tychicus, it seems, he's connected to all these Philippians, Philippi, after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days, which is interesting. What do 7 days represent? All right, verse 7, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Now, Acts 19, if you know the context, Acts 18, Acts 19, he's been at Corinth. And do you remember some phrases in the book of 1 Corinthians? As I teach in all churches, when you come together in one place, upon the first day of the week, when you are gathered together, let there be no But bring your offering on the first day of the week, each and every first day of the week. If you back up to 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14, you have the worship service. Bingo, right here's the context of all that. As he taught everywhere, and as the churches were, what day did they meet on in verse 7? The first day of the week. So again, there's your doctrinal point. And so this isn't just church tradition, this is doctrinal. And you can read that, and that's the Acts 18, 19, the third missionary journey that Paul's engaged in, that Tychicus has been a part of. These are people that have been ministering, serving, beloved brothers, fellowship, in companionship, together, one with another. And what are they doing? Were they just going around eating potlucks? Or were they teaching, as I teach everywhere in every church? If I had time, I'd go show you 1 Corinthians 4, 17, 1 Corinthians 7, 17, 1 Corinthians 11, 23, as Paul says that the Lord commanded me, so I'm commanding you, as he gave unto me the Lord's Supper example, and so forth. That's all patterned teaching, ministering. This is what Tychicus and others are teaching. And so they're accompanying them. Now, we looked at Ephesians 6 and Colossians 4. Now go to 2 Timothy 4 and then Titus, 2 Timothy 4, 12. And this is, of course, the Apostle Paul. All right, let's look at verse 9. Let's get the context here. Paul says to Timothy here, remember, Timothy was a part of the group in that third missionary journey, and so these men are kind of moving around, but watch where Tychicus is. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, Timothy. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed into Thessalonica. There's one that's out. So, Natasha, I don't know. Why did Demas leave? I mean, we could go, but he got too hard for him. Or something. I don't know. He got uncomfortable. And Thessalonica had been evangelized already. I mean, where was he going to go back? He's probably one of these brothers that quits. He's weak. And he's going to go find someone at Thessalonica that'll feel sorry for him. My guess, we always do that. We go back to the church after we've done something wrong, and we give them half the story. That happens. You got to get the whole story. That's fellowship. This is why Tychicus is being involved in Paul's ministry, the Lord's ministry, to give the whole story. I want to know your affairs. I'm going to give you my affairs. I don't want to hear half-truths. See what I'm saying? That's right. Okay, so, all right, so Demas departs, goes back to Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee. For now he wants Mark back. So Paul, for whatever reason, John Mark's part of this thing, and bring him back. For he is profitable to me for the ministry. Notice how he doesn't call it Paul's ministry, he calls it the ministry. Now, watch what is said here. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. Okay, so now we know why Tychicus was sent to Ephesus. The end of chapter 6 tells us, I want to know of your affairs. He's going to tell you of my affairs. He's going to deliver this epistle. He's going to minister it. He's going to preach it. He's going to teach it. Now, what's interesting is we also know, as Paul is instructing Timothy in this epistle, we know that they are setting an order. They are constantly setting an order, ministering. Look at Titus chapter 1. Now, this is the last time an example of Tychicus in the New Testament. So we can get kind of a glimpse of what they're doing. But look at Titus chapter 1 first. What was Titus's responsibility in verse 5? Why was he left in Crete? Titus 1 verse 5. So these are that's the aspect of servitude and ministering. That's missionary work. If you go back to, again, the book of Acts in chapter 14, verse 23, as they appointed elders in every church, as they were going around, What does Paul write to both Timothy and Titus relative to qualifications? Qualifications concerning two different classes, elders and deacons. Specific. So what is Tychicus involved with? Just to, again, to give you the broader picture, it's not just Titus and Timothy. These men are involved in a, what was Ephesians 4 all about? About setting in order pastors. Some were called to be prophets. That will be soon done away with. Paul writes that to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 13. He says, when that which is perfect comes, then some of that infancy stuff is going to be done away with. Miracles, prophets, things that aren't needed anymore. That which is complete, mature, perfect will be done away. So these men are teaching that. They know that. And that, by the way, do you ever see Tychicus or Titus or Timothy performing miracles? They're not recorded doing so. All right, so in Titus chapter 1, now look at Titus chapter 3, verse 12, talking about this man Tychicus. Again, notice here, back up to verse 9, to both Titus, but this applies to Tychicus and all of the ministers. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition, do what? I've warned you once, I've warned you twice. I'm not doing this a third time. You're done. Moving on. All right. Knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself, when I shall send Artemas unto thee, or Tychicus, not sure yet which one, but one of them is going to be sent to you, be diligent to come unto me, to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. Bring Zenas, the lawyer, just to add more, and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessity or necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. Don't be unfruitful. Paul is saying, be not idle. Be busy. Do something. Go to work. Does that sound like something Tychicus was doing? So, a tried, trustworthy, and true friend, an unsung hero of the New Testament, but I ask myself the question, how many really unsung heroes like Tychicus are in the New Testament? Paul said this about Phoebe. Well, who was Phoebe? A faithful servant to the churches. They're in Romans chapter 16. A servant. Women have a role. So again, I want to throw out a few things. You don't read anything about Tychicus scandalous. You don't read him ever being corrected. I'm sure there were times he needed to be adjusted. You don't see him being rebuked. He's not departing. There's no, again, recorded failures. He's trusted, faithful, loved the Lord. He wasn't famous. He wasn't an apostle. Apparently, he never wrote inspired scripture. Well, neither did Timothy or Titus. But again, were they teaching different messages? Or were they all on the same page? You see, this is why I'm talking about fellowship. Does it work with just one person? It requires all of us being on the same page, working together. I cannot do, nor do I want to do it all. I need help. I want help. I ask the elders all the time, correct me. Look at my judgments. How am I thinking? Tell me where I'm wrong. I want to know how you think. It's hard on me when a person won't say, because then I'm like, well, you're not qualified. Because you should be able to give us how you think. We need that input. And then we'll align it with Scripture and make sure it's right. That's Tychicus. That's the kind of person that we need. So again, Ryan, yes, sir.
Just a comment here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 reminded me, Tychicus may fit into that category. The New King James renders it a more unpresentable part, lowly or esteemed part. Foot rather than brain or whatever. And we need every single one of the parts in the church. He built a perfect role to do the job that he was cut out to do, maybe?
Yes. I hear you, I hear everybody talk, I hear members talk, and I don't, again, say this, but I hope you can hear it from me too, because Jesus taught on it, about idle speech. I can tell when we're talking or you're talking, if you're talking about something constructive or idle. It doesn't mean everything laid back is idle. It just means that I can tell by the things you talk about, the interest you're interested in, whether or not it is spiritual, it has more depth, or it's really idle. What does idle mean? You know, how did Paul say and end there in Titus? Teach those brethren there at Crete to not be unfruitful, to not be idle, to be doing something. Get them to work. Idle hands are the... Yeah. What scripture is that? It's not in there. It's an implication. A practical implication. But it comes from... the attitude and the characteristic of a culture that knew their Bible. Because if they mentioned the devil's workshop, they got that from somewhere. A devil's workshop is in your mind, by the way. He's working it over. All right, so in Acts 20, when we're first... I want to give you some time stamps real quick. In Acts 20 there, verse 4, on Paul's recorded third missionary journey, you're looking at the dates about AD 54, AD 58, likely. And the traveling is Galatia. They touch Galatia, Phrygia, those several cities in Asia Minor, which would be Ephesus, Colossae, Thessalonica, all those areas. Macedonia, Greece is even touched. And that takes about 3 years. The Bible talks about Paul for nearly 4 years preaching and establishing these congregations, appointing elders, strengthening churches, facing tremendous persecution all along the way. It's not an easy route. So when you think about these men that traveled with the Apostle Paul, these are men of character. So when it says, Demas hath forsaken me, we know that Demas left him and forsook him because something broke in Demas. But not with Tychicus. Because he's right there. He's still with me. And I'm not sure whether I'm going to send him or Trophimus, but one of them's coming. Or Artemis. So when he's mentioned there with those men, Sopater, Aristarchus, sometimes I can say things and sometimes I can't. Aristarchus. Secundus, is that how you say it? How do you say that? Secundus. Gaius, Timothy, Tychicus, and Trophimus. These aren't individuals that are just simply on a joyride. They're not on a vacation. Does that make sense? How does missionary work look in this context? Easy? In every city they entered, what were they combating every time? You know, I've been to Mexico, down in the Monterrey. It's a third world country. I don't care what anybody says. There's parts that are, you know, you can tell the wealthier parts that are kind of protected. And, well, I won't say who probably lives there, but you know. But anyway, but those people are scared, man. They're scared because they know. Last time, a few years back, I was there in Monterrey. They were talking about a member of the church there whose son was murdered just about four streets up because at a taco stand there four streets up, he would not do something unethical. I don't remember if it was give free food or these guys were trying to take or steal or something. And those two brothers turned up and they killed him. Murdered him over some tacos. And that's how petty it can be. Well, do you think in this world that Paul and them were in, it was not any less petty? You think it was highly civilized, maybe a little bit Romanesque, but you think there were bandits? And if there were idols as rampant as they were, these people, were they thinking right in their culture? How many different philosophers and philosophies existed when Paul in Acts 17 gets over to Athens? Everybody had their own doctrine, their own philosophy. And they said, well, let's listen to Paul. He's got some new, let's listen to this babbler. They're very open-minded to a fault. So they had watched Paul. These men been beaten, imprisoned, stoned, opposed, threatened. You think that some of them had suffered some of the same? We know that there at Philippi, who was with him there at Philippi in prison? Paul and Silas. And Silas suffered the same. That's right. Proverbs 27:17 says what? A passage we ought to have memorized. Iron sharpeneth iron. We have a saying in work, we want to hire people that are smarter than I am, smarter than me. I need people around me that are better than me because they will make me better. But if I always want to surround myself with people that are weak, then that may create a bad environment. You can think about that. I need iron. I need some iron. Sharpens iron. You think Paul sharpened these men? So in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, when we get back to Tychicus, how many years has elapsed from that third missionary trip to him being in prison? It's probably about 7 to 9 years later. 7 to 9 years. So the relationship with Tychicus has only matured 7 or 9 years. And with that said, Paul writing from prison, probably around AD 62, notice again who is still beside him. Ephesians 6:21. Who is still beside him? They're at Rome in prison, somehow with him. He had access, the book of Acts says, he had access. But this puts into context the characters like Demas, who did what again? Forsook him. And it puts into context, in my mind, Philippians chapter 1, how were some preaching about his character? Supposing to add afflictions to my bondage. And here's Tychicus the whole time I've been with this man. So why not use the man or ask him, would you go report of my affairs and deliver the book of Ephesians, deliver the book of Colossians, and minister those messages and teach of those affairs? How do you think Tychicus viewed brotherhood, the church overall? Romans chapter 12, verse 10, Paul says, be kindly affectioned one to another. Do churches grow when brethren like each other or don't like each other? Genuinely love each other? Do churches do better? So what was Paul's motive? To just try to exonerate his own character? Or to promote true love? How many times has Paul's message, not by Tychicus, but by us or some, been rejected because it was too harsh? Not loving. Paul was the hard apostle. How many of y'all ever heard that? Did Tychicus think that? Did the apostle Paul get on to the apostle Peter? Rebuked him to his face, didn't he? For hypocrisy. What does the Apostle Peter say about the Apostle Paul as Peter is departing and about ready to die? You remember in chapter 3 of 2 Peter? Let's look at it. I think this relates. I think it relates to the way Tychicus experienced it. I wonder how Tychicus read these words. He probably knew about the Galatian encounter. You think Tychicus knew about the encounter, had heard about the encounter with John Mark and Barnabas? You think Tychicus had heard about Paul rebuking Peter, the well-known Peter? And in 2 Peter chapter 3, look at what Peter says. Verse 12, we'll just get the context. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our, how does he refer to the Apostle Paul? Beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. His epistles, he's written many. He speaks in them of things in which are some things hard to be understood. How do you take that? Hard to be understood. What does Peter mean when he says hard to be understood? There's a couple ways you might want to look at that. The idea of hard there might be hard to digest. Not difficult to understand, really hard to swallow. It could be that it's difficult to understand in some things or to comprehend, but I lean more to the directness of what Paul is saying. But what are your thoughts? Could be a little bit of both. How do you think Tychicus and others who were handling, holding the epistles of Ephesians, when Paul talks about spiritual warfare in Ephesians chapter 6, is that hard to understand? Is it hard to digest? I got to go to war.
Kind of reminds me of the book that John was told to eat.
Yeah.
It's not sweet, but it's going to be.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, some of the prophets were told that. Eat this scroll.
Now you want me to go say something?
It's bitter. Yeah. Bitter. That's a good point.
Well, maybe for the people that were hearing it, it was something that was hard to apply. And when we can understand what the word says, but then now you're asking us to go out and do it, even many preachers suffer in this. They can preach a good lesson and expound on the word of God very precise.
Character and preaching are two different things. I've listened to a lot of these Texas School of Preaching boys come out, and they're talented. But boy, they got a lot to learn still. I heard one the other day, not your boys. He had his sermon memorized. I mean, word for word, scripture for scripture. He had it word for word, Leon. He could memorize. He could just quote. He could quote. But I looked at everybody's like, man, he's so smart. I said, how long has he been doing this? Oh, he started a couple years ago. How old is he? He's got some time. We'll see his character in 30 years. We'll see your character in 30 years. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Who thinks I can't still fall? Paul's the one that writes and says, I buffet my body daily and keep it in subjection. So, yeah, thanks for the discussion there on that hard to be understood. But what do people do with hard to be understood? Let's qualify the context, especially those that are ignorant or unlearned. What do they do with hard to learn or hard to digest? What do people do that are very sensitive, overly sensitive? Paul writes about this in 1 Corinthians 13 about love. Love is not easily offended. Oh, that's a hard one. And if you don't develop some thick skin in your life, and when people are getting on to you, and you take everything personal, what do you think Tychicus did? Let's talk about who we're talking about. Tychicus stayed the course. Okay.
And you know, just in the training of them and teaching of them and examples to them, as bold and blunt as Paul is, you know he was on the receiving end of some of that.
Had to be. He wasn't biased. I don't detect a biased bone in the Apostle Paul. I don't think he picked favorites, so to speak. The guy wasn't married. There's no record of him ever being married. This is a super focused man. Any other comments? Chad, you're sitting on the edge of your seats, literally.
I will say this. Probably because I just don't pick up on things like this. Paul called Tychicus, a beloved brother, faithful minister, fellow servant, just to handle that letter, take it to the brethren, and you know it was a letter that was read publicly. He had to take that to heart. That a man of this caliber, who is taking all of this persecution, not even, well, they're preaching the truth, but their character is not far. He thinks this is all me. That's powerful.
So what if the Apostle Paul in Philippians 1, and I'll summarize and quit here, because as Peter says, those that are unstable will rest or twist hard things to their own destruction. That's what happens all the time. People will run with this message and they don't tell you the truth. They tell you their feelings. This is what. So you got to be smart enough to hear people when they're talking. Well, wait a second now. You got to ask questions. Well, what did you, I'll tell you what, let me pick up the phone, let me call them and talk. No, I don't want to do that. And now you're exposed. So be careful what you say about hard things in life. That's what I would say. Okay? Because you don't want to fall guilty, because people do destroy their own self. That's what Paul, so I think Paul is saying that in Philippians 1 about, in some senses, his character assassination. Some people are, again, I'm just glad Christ is being preached. All right. Appreciate the comments. Didn't have a lot of time for the kids to read, and so this was a little bit more of a, I enjoyed the study. I thought we were doing something different, but we're good. Leon.
Thank you for bringing up that 2 Peter 3 passage where I was tying some scriptures together, because I was under the impression that it was something just hard to like understand, to comprehend. But then Paul says in Ephesians 3:4, whereby we read, ye may understand, and then in chapter 5 he says, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And then after Jesus had spoke to the 5,000 and told them to eat his flesh and drink his blood, they said, this is a hard saying, King James, who can hear it? New King James, who can understand it?
That's good. That's right. That's I think those are great parallel passages. Good study. All right, any other comments? All right. Appreciate the attention. So much more we can say. I had more points, but I enjoyed that. I hope that you did.